Okay, tonight we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting with verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you again. To write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast to you, to them of Macedonia, and of Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we say not you, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before to you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, and in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown, and the increase of the fruit and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in all things, in everything, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service is not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. While by the experiment of this ministration, the glory of God, and they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution to them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Okay? It's tough reading, isn't it? Well, let's see what he's doing. Paul finishes up in the last chapter, chapter 8, and he said, wherefore you show them, to them, and in the presence of the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf or concerning you. And he goes out in verse 1 of chapter 9, because concerning the ministering to the saints, it is what? What's that word superfluous mean? One of the renderings makes it very clear. There's several words they have in the language for it, but this word, excessive. So he says, because concerning the ministering to the saints, it is excessive for me to write to you. How many times do you think Paul has told these people about what they should be doing? Multiple times. So he says, it'd be excessive if I write it to you again. You should already know this thing, is what he's saying. Okay? Verse 2, because I know the what? The readiness or the predisposition of your mind. He said, I know what your mind's like. I know what you're thinking. I know you're ready. For which I boast to you, to them of what? Macedonia. Paul said, I'm talking to certain people. Who is the Macedonians? That's exactly who they are. They're first fruit. It's the extended land, the mind of Christ. It's the first fruit. So he said, I'm boasting to the other first fruit about this first fruit. Okay? And Achaia. What does that mean, Achaia? It can mean Greece or trouble. He said, I'm talking to the ones, to them, the first fruit and what? The ones in Greece or the ones with trouble was ready a year ago, and your zeal has what? Provoked them, stirred them up, or excited them. You know, it excited a lot of people. So what's Paul telling us? That our zeal, the way we live our life, what does it do to somebody else? See, our lives affect somebody else. Some people think, oh, I never affect anybody. I don't have any business doing anything. I'm just going through this life, and I'm going to drop dead, and they're going to kick me in the ditch and cover me up, and that's the end of it. Everybody in this world affects somebody else's life. Whether it's positive or negative, that's not my call. That's your call, isn't it? How you live your life is up to you. And I would definitely want to affect people in a positive way. Okay? In verse 3, he goes on to say, but have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting, but I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in what? Or literally false or empty. Okay, another rendering of it, false or empty. In this behalf. What's the word behalf? Respect is a very good choice. It's what it should be. In this respect. In order that, as I said, you be what? Prepared. You be, the word literally says prepared. Who's he talking to? He's talking first fruit. You got to get ready, or you ain't gonna, no one else is going to be ready. Somebody's got to be first, don't they? If everybody sits around and waits on somebody else, we're not going to get anything done. Somebody's got to take the bull by the horn. Somebody's got to be ready. And Paul says, I said you be ready. He didn't say somebody else, did he? He said you. Verse 4 on. Lest haply or somehow, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, lest somehow they of Macedonia, what is the Macedonian? Some of the first fruit come with me and see you unprepared. What is first fruit really? It's Christ. It's the fullness of Christ. Remember it says in Ephesians 4:11, he gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints and bringing them to the fullness of the stature of Christ, isn't it? So he says, they find you unprepared. We, that we say not, or not to speak of you, we, that we not to speak of you, be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He said, we're doing this so we're telling you to get prepared ahead of time, so when somebody shows up, you're not embarrassed. You're not ashamed about where you're at. You're prepared. If you're prepared, would you ever be ashamed? Okay? If you're prepared, it doesn't make any difference what anybody else does. You're covered. See? And only you can take care of you. Nobody can do it for you, can they? Just you. And if you take care of yourself, raise yourself up, when you let him raise you up through his maturity the way he wants you to, you'll be able to help somebody else when it's time. Therefore, I considered it necessary to exhort the brethren. For he said, therefore I thought, the word thought should be, I considered it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before to you and do what? Where it says make up beforehand, it should be prepare in advance. Prepare in advance your what? King James says bounty. Guess what the word is? No, the word, the Greek word. Eulogia. Blessing. Blessing. So they'd make up your blessing. That's what Paul calls it, a blessing. So he said, you can get there ahead of time and get it prepared. And I'm sure it had something to do with things to help other people. Gathering up food, clothes, finances, whatever it might have been. But he calls it a blessing. but they went ahead of time to get it prepared, whereof you had notice before that the same, cross out that word might because it's added, okay, that the same be ready, that's that bounty or that blessing, that eulogia, as a matter of what? As a matter of bounty, and that same word right there, it's the same word as above, eulogia, as a matter of blessing and not of what? Well, the word covetousness here literally speaks of fraudulent extortion. Of a fraudulent extortion. So he said it's better that this be as a matter of blessing and not as somebody fraudulently extorting something out of somebody. So Paul sent these men ahead of time to prepare the things that was needed for the people they were ministering to, but he's not going to come there and tell you, you better be given, or you better do this, or you better do that. He's saying, you go up there and prepare it ahead of time. Okay? Verse 6, it goes on to say, but this I say, he that sows what? The word sparingly here is literally the word stingily. If you're stingy in your giving, you shall also what? Stingily reap. You'll reap the same way, won't you? You reap what you sow. If you're very generous in your giving, what will you do? You'll reap generously in your reaping. And it goes on to say that, and he that also sows not bountifully but generously is the language. He that sows generously shall also reap generously. I don't think that needs a whole lot of discussion, does it? I think we should understand that if you give generously, you'll receive generously. If you're very sparingly or stingily, give it away. And doesn't the word say that God loves a cheerful giver? Right below here. In verse 7 it says, each, the word every man should be the word each. Each according to as he what? Purposes, the King James says, but it could be chooses or prefers in his heart. It's as you choose or prefer in your own heart. Now, Paul didn't say you had to do anything, did he? He didn't say you have to give. He just said give what's in your heart to give. He didn't set a figure out there, did he? Under the law, they had a figure. Just like Abraham, when he started his tithing, first time it's mentioned in the Scriptures in Genesis 14, Abraham gave from his heart a tithe or 10% of everything he had. No one told him to do that, did he? Then come along the law, and the law said you have to give it. And after the law was fulfilled in Christ, guess what? Hebrews, Paul tells us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 7 that the Melchizedek priesthood, and there's a difference between the Melchizedek priesthood and the Aaronic or Levitical priesthood. The Levitical priesthood takes tithes, and the Melchizedek priesthood receives tithes. Big difference. One's taking, other just receives whatever you give. Correct? That's the way God is, and that's the way it was from here. And Paul's telling you right here that every man or each according as he chooses or prefers in his heart. Not grudgingly or from annoyance. The word grudgingly here is literally from annoyance. Don't give out of annoyance. If someone aggravates you to make you give, it didn't tell you to go ahead and give, did he? He said, don't give when someone's aggravating you about giving. Someone's annoying you. He said, don't give out of that. Or of necessity. And this word necessity means imposed by the law or circumstance or custom. He said, if you give because of something imposed by law or by circumstances, like you need something, like the church world tries to tell you, give and it'll be given back to you. Give $100 to me and God will give you $1,000 back or $100,000. You all heard that, I'm sure, haven't you? He's telling you here, you don't give of necessity or out of circumstances or customs or by the law. It's imposed upon you. Because God loves a what? The cheerful is literally a willing giver. You're giving something you want to give. It's a willing giver. Which, if you're willingly giving it, guess how you're giving it? Cheerfully. I can see where they came with the word, but the word literally is willingly. Okay? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, in order that you always having all what? Sufficiency or contentment in all, abound to every good work. Now the words things, there where it says sufficiency in all things, the word things and may, right behind it, both those words are added words. Let me read it to you again and say it the way it should be. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, in order that you always have all sufficiency or all contentment. If you've got what you're supposed to have, don't you think you'd be content? Should be. In all, may abound to every good work. Let me read you a few scriptures about that. Let's look at Philippians 4 and 11. Philippians 4 and 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, I am, therewith to be content. Now, what's Paul saying? Don't worry, be happy, be content with whatever God gives you. Don't always be desiring some greater, bigger thing. Because you know what, when you get greater and bigger things and more things, you know what you end up doing? You get consumed by those things that you desire. These people that want a big farm, people say, oh, I want a whole bunch of land so I can get out away from everybody. You know what you got now? You got a full-time job taking care of it. I don't want it. I'd rather live in an apartment. Well, just a little apartment. Just a little house. How's that? Just a little house. I don't want a big yard, because a big yard means I've got to take care of a bunch. And I got better things to do than cut that stupid grass that keeps growing back every day. You cut it and it comes back. You cut it and it comes back. That's why I got so much concrete here. It helps, you know. Don't have to cut so much. But be content wherever God's placed you. Let me read you in 1 Timothy 6 and 8. 6 and 8, yeah. Paul says again to Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. He said, if you got food and clothes, what more do you need? Okay? It's just talking more about how much he's talking about contentment. How we should be content with wherever God's got us, okay? One more verse, Hebrews 13:5. And it says this, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, you know, that's the love of money Roy speaks of here, and be content with such things as you have, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you got to read verse 6 with it. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear that man. Right? That humanity. I will not fear what humanity shall do to me. Correct? What they do, it's no bearing to me. Because God's already said he's not going to leave me or forsake me, so what am I concerned with the rest of it, right? Yeah. The next verse you're saying? Mm-hmm. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, or that's the leaders, have led or lead you, who have spoken to you the word of God, the logos of God, whose faith you should imitate, where it says follow, whose faith follow, the word follow should say, you should imitate, considering the end of their lifestyle. He said, you should imitate them and consider the end of their lifestyle, the end of their life. What do you think the end of all these prophets' lives were? Death. He said, when you imitate them, you've got to understand what's going to happen. Is it going to be a popularity contest? It's going to be very difficult to walk this out and do what God has asked us to do. If it was easy, what would be the battle? What would be the purpose of it? Correct? There's no purpose if there's no strain in this thing. It's not easy. It's very difficult. Okay? Back to 2 Corinthians 9 now. Verse 9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains into the age. Okay? The last word, for and ever, those two words should be eis aeon, into the age, or ages. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower both furnishes bread for food, and the word your shouldn't be there. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower both furnishes bread for food and multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. What happened there? I see several things there. The man that sows the seed, right? He both furnishes bread for food and multiplies your seed and increases the fruit of your righteousness. So what's he telling you? Here. He said the man that furnishes, right? The man that furnishes, here's what he does. Tell me the first thing he does. Food. Second one. What's the second thing? Okay. So we'll say seed. And then food. And then what? Fruit. Now, look what Paul's pointing to here. He's saying the man or the woman that God has sowing the seed. Now, we know ultimately the seed came from God, don't we? But yet he's talking about the rest of the men and women that he uses on the face of the earth. He said this person, he's drawing your attention to it. He's telling you the man that does this, the woman that does this, they supply the food and multiply your seed and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Don't you think he's putting some attention to who, someone here in first fruit? The sower is first fruit. Okay? The one that's sowing is the first fruit, isn't he? So I wrote those down so you'd get a visual on them separated and see it a little better. And he says, with that being done, verse 11, he goes on and says this, being enriched, and the word enriched is not really a good rendering, it says being made wealthy. In what? All. Being made wealthy in all. It says everything here. All is the word, pas. Into all what? What? Liberality or generosity. He's made us wealthy in all, into all generosity. Generosity tells me something. I don't remember the word. It could be. You'd have to look at there and see. And if it is the word eulogia, I'm not sure. I didn't mark that, but it could have been. But it says generosity. Okay. Now, when you use the word generosity, what does it mean to you? It means someone that's always providing for someone else very liberally. Okay? Someone that's generous. Would you say that person would be a giver? Okay? So this word generosity can't be used with other than first fruit, can it? Because the first fruit are going to freely give what? Everything they got. Jesus said, it's pretty scarce that anybody would lay their life down for another man, you know, isn't it? But that's the greatest thing you can do, is lay your life down for another person. And that's what we're asked to do. Lay our life down. It's not important what people think about us or do to us as long as we keep the seed going. That's the only thing. It's the only thing that's important. Do what we're told. Keep it going, right?
You're not supposed to
Yes. Yes. Eulogia. What's that one? Yeah, but it still speaks of it. There's sometimes multiple words that can be used in that. Mm-hmm. Where's it at now? Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead. I can't see it right now, but anyway, it should speaking of generosity, okay? But what was the word you used? Liberality. Mm-hmm. Okay, both of them point pretty close to the same thing. I like the word generosity is why I use it versus the liberality, okay? I like the way it, the definition of the word. which does what? Verse 11, after the bountifulness, the generosity, the liberality, what's it say? Which causes or accomplishes through us what? Through us thankfulness, not thanksgiving, but thankfulness to God. So all this stuff going on accomplishes through us a thankfulness to God. Okay? So who's getting the glory out of what's being done? It's not about us getting glory, is it? It's not about us getting any attention. It's about God getting all of it. Just like Jesus, he never accepted worship, did he? First fruit doesn't accept worship. If anybody accepts worship, they've not yet got there. Anybody wants to stand in the limelight, they haven't got there yet. Simple as that. Okay, verse 12. Because the administration or the ministering of this service, that word service here is something different than what it says. It says literally public function. So let me read it the way it says. Because the ministering of this public function not only supplies the want or the deficit or the poverty or the lack of the saints, but is abundant also through many thanksgivings to God. So he's saying this ministering of this, all this stuff we're doing is doing what? It's a public function, not only supplies the deficit or poverty or the lack of the saints, but is abundant also through many thanksgivings to God. While through the experiment, and the word experiment is not really a good word, it's through the proving of this service, not ministration, but service, they glorify God for your what? It's confessed obedience. Where it says professed subjection, it should be confessed obedience to the gospel of Christ. See, here's what you're confessing. Your confessed obedience is one thing to the what? The gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? It's the message of reconciliation. It's not about Jesus dying on a cross or believing that he was resurrected or even believing that he was a virgin birth. Yeah, that's part of it. But that's not what the message of the gospel of Christ is. His gospel came. He said, I came to draw all humanity back unto me. True or false? He said, I come that you might have life, or, and the word might shouldn't be there. He said, I come that you have life, and you have it more abundantly than you got now. That doesn't have anything to do, tells me nothing about someone going to some eternal hell, does it? He said, I come that you have life, and have that life more abundantly. There's the message of Christ. He come to bring us life, not judgment, not all this foolishness. The word experiment there was proving. Approving of this service. They glorify God for your confessed obedience, okay, to the gospel of Christ and generous distribution to them and to all. So they say, they see you being the vessel that God is using, and you're not hoarding stuff up, what are you doing with it? You're giving it away. See? Didn't he say in Luke, when the unrighteous mammon fails, when it fails, you know, make friends with the unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, the unrighteous mammon, they'll come back to you looking for the truth. Because you supplied their need before, what are you going to do this time? Now you got something to give them, because the unrighteous mammon, the monetary system fails, guess what's left? Christ. Right? And if you got it, you can supply it. And verse 14, and by their prayer concerning you, long after you... See what I'm looking at here again. Okay, read again, verse 14. And by their prayers concerning you, long after you, through the exceeding or surpassing grace of God in you. He said they're giving all this glory to God for what you're doing, and by their prayers concerning you, they long after you, okay? That means they have a desire for you. They long after you through the surpassing grace of God in you. They long for you, but why are they longing for you? Because of what the supply that you have in your life to release to them. See, they're longing after you because of the grace of God that's in you. Now, remember what the grace of God is. Do you remember, Ed? What grace is? The divine influence in your heart and a reflection of that out in your lifestyle. So evidently somebody got to see some grace, didn't they? And they know where it's coming from, and they know that's not of the natural man, right? They know that's of the Spirit of God. So this grace they see in of God in you. And then he turns around and finishes this chapter by saying, thanks to God for His indescribable gift. Not unspeakable, but indescribable is what the language says. What do you think that word thanks is right there, really? Huh? Grace. It's charis. It really is grace, the word charis, which we use for grace, okay? But it could be grace to God, grace unto God for His, or thanks. They use the word thanks, so I'm not changing it here, but just telling you what it is. thanks to God for His indescribable gift. What indescribable gift is that? The grace in you. His presence in you. Isn't that the gift that can't be described? Can you describe God? There's no words to expound what God is. There's not enough words in our language or vocabulary to expound what God is. I have to experience Him, don't I? And when I experience Him, I still can't tell you everything about God, can I? He's bigger than what our minds are right now. You find He shows the other side. He'll flip over and let you see something else. God is so much bigger than what people give Him credit for. I feel sorry for people whose God is only about a half inch tall. Huh? Just big enough to listen to their wants. Usually He doesn't supply them according to what they say. They scream and holler for things that don't happen. So, you know. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's not anything on my behalf, but I've never asked God for all these things that people pray and ask, give me a new car, give me a new house, give me some money, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I never asked God for things like that. He said He would supply everything I need, correct? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He said he knows that you have need of these things, right there in that same passage. If He knows I have need of them, do you think my Father will supply them, or do I have to beg Him for them? He'll supply them. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about tomorrow if I can eat. or if I'm going to have a place to sleep. When you get tired enough, you'll sleep where you're at. Isn't that true? I slept in some awful muddy rice paddies in South Vietnam. Some cold, wet days when it was about 85 degrees. If you think that ain't cold, try it in one of those jungles after you've been in that water all day and all night and all day and all night and all day and all night for a whole bunch of days and nights. You know what I mean? And in monsoon season, you freeze at 80 degrees after it's been 110, 15. You feel like you're freezing. So, you know, whatever you're in, be content therewith. I think he said that in this chapter, didn't he? We got to learn to live with what God gave us and quit being dissatisfied and always looking for something more, 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 more. There's nothing wrong if your car breaks down desiring another car because you got to have transportation. There's nothing wrong if your house burnt down building you another house. You're buying you. There's nothing wrong with those things as long as they're in a proper perspective. But when you have a perfectly good home and you want to build a bigger, finer home to impress the neighbors, you got a problem. Right? If your family gets bigger and you need a bigger house, then you got to have more room. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to take everything in context of what it should be. Right? Anybody got anything to say tonight? Any questions, comments, or rocks to throw? We receive them all, remember? Remember?